My name is Jack Owens. I work at Iowa State University up in the frozen tundra. It was 17 below when we left there. I looked up on a website to see how many international students are in this Oklahoma. I didn't know where everybody was going to be from. There are several thousand international students from different campuses in Oklahoma. I don't know about your campus. At Iowa State, we have about 3,300 international students, and about 1,300 of those are Chinese. We have a lot of our work with Chinese, and we'll be explaining that later. Whatever campus you are at, we know that there are people, the nations, are coming to the United States, and they've been coming for many years. Right now, there are more international students here than they've ever been at any one time, about 750,000 international students. And the other night, somebody spoke and said that of the international students that come, some 70% or 80% never get the opportunity to even go into the home of an American. And there have been some very influential people from other nations that have studied in the United States, people that became prime ministers, presidents, other leaders in their countries that have influence on millions of people. So we have great opportunity here, but I want to show you a little bit about our ministry at Iowa State, just to kind of introduce what we do, and then we'll be talking about the whole concept of doing student ministry. If I can figure this out.
Are you looking for fun things to do?
Do you feel that Ames is not yet your new home? Are you seeking to learn about the real purpose of life through knowing God? Well, then come and join us at the International Friendship Connection.
The International Friendship Connection, or IFC, is caring, supportive, and helpful community of friends from many different countries all over the world.
International Friendship Connection is an official Iowa State University organization that is sponsored by Cornerstone Church of Ames.
We are continually working to make Ames a place that's a home away from home for people who are far away from their families.
We help others experience love, hope, and meaning in their lives.
About IFC is that I made lots of good friends through IFC. They became very important in my life, and they support me, love me, and encourage me.
My favorite part about IFC is that I enjoy the food. It's free.
That was so exciting. Many people coming. I like IFC because it creates a really cool dynamic, having people from all over the world. Meeting together and hanging out. And just the love and the connection that we have together is really cool. I just like meeting a lot of new friends. And every time I come, I meet someone new. So I really love IFC.
We have many ways for you to become involved in our IFC family, including English Club, the Conversational English Partner Program, monthly fusion gathering, weekly family groups, and special events throughout the year.
English Club, we learn new vocabulary words, we talk to each other, and we learn about the American culture.
At English Club, international and American students come together and we can learn and practice our English and also learn about American culture. And it's also a place where you can ask any questions you have regarding English, and you can also strengthen your English skills.
We do lots of different activities, we learn lots of new words, and we learn a little bit about the American style of English. Conversational English Partner Program is an opportunity for the international students to meet weekly with an American and practice their conversational English.
Conversational English Partner Program is very helpful.
fault because I made a very good friends with my conversational partner, and I practice English with her and learn American culture from her too.
Conversational English partners are really great because you're able to meet with an American student and ask them. They can be like a tutor for you, and also they can help you as you try to adjust to the American culture.
Every month we have an event. It's called Fusion, and at Fusion, there's a band that plays, and we sing songs about God. We learn a little bit about who God is from the Bible, and then we have some times to have fun playing games. Sometimes there's dance performances, and then we have some snacks and food and some time to talk and make new friends. Fusion is effort to fuse these together, and I really like the bonding that the environment that it created. Old people from different nationalities come together and love each other and be friends.
We have a really good band, and there's some guys playing guitars and some singers, and we enjoyed the awesome sounds.
The band at Fusion is made up of internationals and Americans, and it's like a rock band, and they lead people into singing songs to God.
We have many different activities at Fusion. One of them, the dance performance, and you're doing a dance performance called Xenos, and you have to see it. It's pretty cool.
One thing I learned at Fusion is about Christmas. I learned the true meaning behind the very important American holiday that Jesus was sent into the earth about 2,000 years ago.
Family group is a place where people from different countries get together, sharing delicious food, learning from each other, learning Bible, and have a lot of fun.
All last year I was involved in a family group. And what we would do is we would meet every week, we would come together at someone's house, we would prepare an American dish or a Chinese dish, whatever kind of meal, eat together, talk about our weeks, and then we'd open up the Bible and learn a little bit about God, and then we would pray together and we would hang out. And it was just a really great time to make new friends and to deepen relationships.
And we play music together, and we sing songs together, and we learn the Bible.
Family group is a very comfortable home environment where you can deepen relationships with your friends and become part of a community that feels like a family while also learning from the Bible.
I want my friends to come to family group and meet other people from other countries and to share their stories and to learn about the Bible. Also, we have other special events throughout the year, such as the winter getaway, the spring break trip, the hayride, and the 4th of July barbecue. Hopefully you can see that IFC is a group of great friends who help and support each other while having a whole lot of fun. And we really want you to join us.
That's kind of who we are. We started IFC several years ago, over 10 years ago, and working with the nations that are coming to America. I had been a missionary for several years in South Korea and came back and was seeking what God had for me next. And a guy at our Baptist student ministry came up to me and said, "I think I know God's will for your life." I said, "Oh yeah, I'm always eager to hear that." And he said, "Look, we have all these American students involved in our group, but we have no internationals, and we know there are thousands of internationals on the campus. The nations are coming here." He says, "Could you take some of our American students and train them and start reaching out to internationals?" And so that's the idea that I took up, and after prayer and counsel, this is what we started doing. And so now our international ministry. This video that you saw, we show at our kickoff time at the beginning of school, the hayride, and we have between 400 and 500 internationals that come out and get a taste of American culture, and then we do activities and show them, try to capture them for the year for the activities that you heard, you saw talked about there. So, but just because we have this type of ministry, I want to look at the biblical mandate. Do we have a biblical mandate to do this here in our country? And of course, my answer is going to be yes, we do have a biblical mandate. But now I need to figure out how to get to it. Okay. So why international ministry? There is a biblical mandate, and one of them given from the Old Testament, Leviticus 19. Says God told the children of Israel, do not take advantage of the foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites. Love them as you love yourself. I am the Lord your God. So from the very beginning, God wanted his people to reach out and love these foreigners that were among them. In Hebrews 13:2, it says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And I learned something interesting about the word hospitality. In the Greek, it means love of foreigners. So if you love foreigners or love of strangers, you can reach out to internationals showing hospitality. And of course, we know the Great Commission, Matthew 28, to make disciples of all the nations. Well, the nations are coming to us. Practically from every nation of the world is here in the United States going to school, except for just a few, very few. Acts told the people in Athens in Acts 17, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set. Somehow this is not, we're not getting all of it. Time set for them in the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. And I'd like you to see that God did this. He brought them. He determined the exact places where they were to live so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out and find him. Now, these internationals, these thousands and hundreds of thousands of internationals that are coming to the United States to study, they think they're coming to get a degree, to get a tool so that they can earn lots of money and go back to their countries or even stay in America and make lots of money. But God has other plans for them. He determined the exact places and the times they should live so that, for the very reason that they could find him. But I want to ask you this question. Is it easier to reach the nations here than in their own home countries? And the answer is both yes and no. Okay, it's definitely cheaper. Now, I worked with IMB for 10 years in South Korea. And then I worked for 3 years in Turkey. And when I lived in South Korea, we had 4 kids. So the IMB had to support my whole family, 6 of us. And, counting the education, the transportation, the food and everything, it can easily be $80,000 a year that we invest into a family going overseas. But what about they're coming to us? You can do it. It doesn't cost anything, really. Very little. In fact, this hayride that we have these hundreds come to, we charge them for that. And they pay. So you can do an international ministry very little money. They pay for it. It can be harder to reach Muslims here than it is in a place like Turkey because they receive warnings from their elders and their friends before they come to watch out for those pesky Christians in America. And of course, everybody knows that all Americans are Christian. And so they're on their guard when they come. The conservative Muslims here are on the watch around for people from their country. The guy you saw there who talked about several times, he's from Qatar, he's talked about, I want my friends to come to family group and study the Bible. He's not a believer. But, you know, he's a friend. And he's kind of an unusual Muslim. And there's peer pressure for them not to trust Jesus. Now, we did have a Muslim baptized a few weeks ago. His name is, unbelievably, Muhammad. And Muhammad said the thing that attracted him, it drew him toward Jesus Christ, was he began to think about his life, and he began to think just looking at life and what he should do and success. And he thought about America, and he thought, why is America so different from other countries? Why are they always one or two in the Olympics? Why are they so powerful militarily? Why do they have so much money in America? And he thought, it must be their religion. And so he Googled online, you know, what is Christianity? And how do you become a Christian? And Muhammad actually on his own became a believer. Got in contact with some people in our church. And about a month ago was baptized. A pretty incredible story. And that doesn't happen very often. But when it does, you know, we're very excited and try to help people like that. Is it easier to reach the nations here than in a, yes and no? International students are very busy. And I'm sure you have encountered that. They have to study hard. Can you imagine, and maybe you've done this on some student exchange program, going to another country, studying in another language, studying engineering, say, in Korean or in Chinese, Mandarin, or in whatever language, or whatever your major is, trying to study that in another language. You know, they have to study a lot more than you do. It's inconvenient and complicated to minister cross-culturally. You know, you can easily offend an international without trying, you know, without even knowing that you are. When we lived in Korea, some friends of ours were ministering to a couple of girls, and they'd made friends with them, and these girls were so appreciative of them, they gave them a picture. And, it was a beautiful picture. Well, they thought, wow, this would go well in our bathroom. And, you know, the colors in our bathroom and everything. So they hung that picture in their bathroom. Well, bathrooms in other countries are different than American bathrooms. Bathrooms are places you don't decorate. You won't stay in there very long. And they're usually just sopping wet, the whole thing. And so they came over another time and they saw their picture hung in the bathroom. And they thought they were insulted. And they never came back. So you got to be a little careful, but it is inconvenient, complicated to learn their cultures. There's a language barrier. You know, when I was a student at OU, I worked for a while in the engineering library, and I couldn't understand these guys that came in from Pakistan and what book they wanted and stuff. And it took me a long time, and because I had to, I listened carefully, and finally I could. You can do it. They're either atheists or they already have a religion. And, you know, those are barriers to working with them. Some, especially Chinese, though, are very curious about Christianity. And they want to find out. And really, I think one of the reasons is to find out why is America so different. And we want to tell them it's not us, it's God. But even if they have no interest, remember, this is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Even if they never come to Christ, we can still serve them in the name of Jesus. And that's one reason we do things like the English Club and conversational partners, and you take them on trips and things to serve them and help them to adjust to the culture where they're living in now. And most of them that we minister to do not become believers while they're with us, but we can be a link in the chain that later on they can. Now, there's an essential need is if you want to minister to internationals, no matter how bad, how difficult it is, and that is to connect with internationals. So how do you connect with internationals on your campuses? And if you have questions, please ask. How many here are already involved with the internationals on your campus? That's great. Oh, most of the people here. And is it a specific ministry to them? I mean, is it, do you call it just the same thing as your, Christian Challenge or BSU, or is it, specifically designed for internationals?
We have a group in our town. It's Laramie's a fairly small town, 20,000, but we have a group called International Student Partners, and it's a bunch of churches who are partner international, and then we have an event every month. We do Campus Ventures, which is our student group on campus, and my part that I do is call those monthly meetings where we do, share the gospel with them, because I do a cooking club at my house.
Okay, great.
And it started out pretty small, and then they just keep inviting their friends, and it's almost too big for myself,
That's very good. And that's a great felt need that they have, learning how to cook.
Yeah, we share recipes. Like, well, I'll teach them to cook stuff in American, and then they'll teach me something from their culture. And then I take them to Denver, periodically to get supplies for things that they can't buy on our camp. And then we also do lots of fun other things together. It just kind of ratcheted that to lots of different.
Oh, that's great. Cool. So look at this. These are just some ideas that we've come up with on how do you find internationals if you wanted to. One is you can check, usually on most campuses, there's some kind of office of international students and scholars. And you can get help from them. And usually they're often looking for volunteers. Volunteers to help with conversational English. So even at Iowa State, they even pay students. If you say, I'd like to help with your English conversation program, they will pay you per hour to meet with internationals. And when I first started, that's how I did it. I just went to them and said, can I do this? And they said, yeah, we'll pay you to do it. It's not much, but, $5 or $6 an hour. But, I mean, wow, they're paying me to meet with an international, and then you can talk about anything you want to. Oh, yeah.
We have a conversation group, and we do half the time we do idiom and slang, because that seems to be the need for the group that we have coming. We have primarily undergraduates from China and also graduate students from other Southeast Asia. And then the other half is conversation. That seems to be the kind of thing.
Yep. They probably know English grammar, better than you or I do. But their problem is hearing English and then speaking it conversationally. And so we'll talk about their felt needs in a little bit. So you can find out the demographics of internationals at your school from that office. You can find out how many, what countries, and things like that. And needs that the international student office might have. You can check out websites of international student associations or clubs at your school. And just sometimes they have monthly meetings or occasional meetings or celebrations. And often they welcome Americans to be involved, because very few Americans are involved. And you can go there and meet internationals there. You can check out special opportunities at the beginning of school. Find out when they're having orientation. They're having orientation for the new semester this week at Iowa State, and we have a couple of guys. One was on the video that is volunteered to help with the orientation. I think he's being paid for it, and then he can make contacts that way and invite them to IFC activities. Beginning of school, number five, begin an English club conversational English partner. Just advertise, and they'll usually you'll get some. Eat at restaurants where internationals eat. That means going to Chinese restaurants. Maybe there's a Middle Eastern restaurant. Maybe there's, I don't know, whatever is in your place. Go there and find out where they eat. Because they, you know, just like you, if you go to another country, you'll find out where the McDonald's are. You'll find out where, you know, KFC is and stuff like that. But and then when they come here, they look for anything that's similar, familiar to them. And go there and sit down next to them and start conversations. Go to grocery stores where internationals go. In Ames, because we have so many internationals, I think we have five different Asian grocery stores, or four or five. They're always popping up. And guess who goes there? Asians. And you can find them there. You can find them in Walmart. You can find them in the mall. In the grocery stores. Go to a recreation center, especially on the weekends, when they have time. They love to, you know, to play basketball and soccer. And sometimes our students have gone out there and just joined in with some of them. Buy an international student email list. I buy a list at the beginning of school of all over 3,000 internationals' email list. It cost me $20. The university sells it. Sorry to tell you that, but they sell your address too. And for $20, I can get their email, find out what country they're from, so a lot of information actually, and then we send out emails and advertise what we're doing. And American students and your Baptist student organization have connections with many internationals in their class and their living areas, and make use of these contacts. So here's 10, at least 10 ways you can connect with internationals on your campus, and you can probably think of other ways that are specific to your, where you live, and to get to them. But they're there, and we just need to get out and find them. Now, they have a bunch of felt needs, and a wise man once told me that if we can help people with their felt needs at first, then they'll be more open to listen to needs they don't even know that they have. And so one of the felt needs are practical needs. They, you know, the demographics and the economic situation of internationals have really changed drastically in the last 10 years. When I first started working with internationals, they were almost all graduate students here on scholarships. But recently, it's switched. And over now, I think this year, it's switched in Iowa State. There's about 50% are undergraduates and 50% are graduate students. And the undergraduate students, they don't come on scholarships unless it's from a Muslim country like Saudi Arabia or the Middle East somewhere that their government sends them. It's normally from their parents, their family sending them, and it's very expensive. And so they come and they buy cars. They buy brand new cars, and they buy expensive brand new cars, some of them. And it's really amazing to me what we see them driving. We've had students help them buy cars, take them around. We help them get their driver's license. We pick them up at the airport. They have need of furniture. They have need of insurance if they get a car, and knowing where to eat, and many other just practical needs that you can easily help them with just by being there. They need friendship. They need no strings attached friendships. They, if they get the idea, you are a friend with them, you want to be their friend just to make them a Christian, that's not what they're looking for, and that'll scare them away. They want to know that you'd be a friend with them, even if they don't ever become a Christian. And they want American friends. They need other international friends. And sometimes they come from a country that there are no other, or very few others from their country there at your school. And so many of them are very lonely. Of course, we've talked about English, and it's a key to their success, and success equals money to help their family. It's social status. It's honor. And so English is the key to all that. They have need, felt need of understanding American culture. You know, what's cool, what's not cool, how do Americans live, what are American values, and others. And you can help, easily help them. Just by being American, you can help them with these things. They like to travel. They want to see more than the campus. And they have a lot of money, many of them do, and will travel. Over this past semester break right now, international students that we know, they're traveling back to their home countries. They're traveling all over the United States. They're traveling to Florida and to New York, to California, and just on their own. Las Vegas, they like to go there. And so why not join in with them at times and sponsor trips and things like that? So those are some felt needs. Another one is academic success. They need help studying sometimes. They need guidance in their classes. And if they don't succeed here, that's a big problem with their families, and they lose face. And so that's why their studies are such a high priority. There are probably other felt needs, but that's some of them. And if you can meet those, and those are felt needs I thought of that we can easily meet just by being American and being able to speak English. And being native English speakers is just an incredible thing for them, something that they seek. But they have critical needs that maybe they don't feel. And, of course, one of the number one is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know that they have that need. They don't know that they're actually bound for hell apart from Him. They don't even know there is a hell. And many of them don't even know there is a God. And so those are some critical needs. So we need to learn how to present the gospel simply and clearly. And you've gone to some workshops and seminars that talk about that here. And I think this verse was used in the very first evening, Colossians 4:4, pray that I should proclaim this message clearly as I should. And with internationals, that's so important to be able to share the gospel clearly and simply, slowly. Evangelistic Bible studies is a way to get them in, for them to learn about Jesus. Don't start with Jesus, start at the beginning. And because find out where they are spiritually. I say don't start with Jesus because, okay, if you look at this little chart here, you have, if this is this, the horizontal line is a timeline in a person's life, and at the cross is where they meet Jesus. Well, the typical American that comes to your campus, they already have a big background in, many of them, in knowing something about Christianity. They know about Jesus. If they say, I don't believe in God, the God they don't believe in is the God of the Bible. They're not talking about, I don't believe in Allah. If they say, I'm an atheist, the God they have in their thinking is the God of the Bible, the Christian God. And so they already have something, some kind of background in the Bible. They know some Bible stories. Very few. You meet people that just don't know anything about Christianity. But for the most part, the average American, they don't have very far to go as far as knowledge concerning Christianity to get to find out how to become a believer. But the typical international, they're way, way far. And if they say they're an atheist, like a typical Chinese might, I don't believe in God, well, what God are they thinking about? Well, they might be thinking of Buddha. They might be thinking of, you know, some other thing. And they don't even know enough to say, I don't believe in the God of the Bible. Or they just, anything spiritual, I don't believe in. Supernatural, I don't believe in. But so they're way further. They have a long way to go. That's why you need to start at the beginning. Genesis 1 is a good place to start. Once they become believers, they need growth in Christ. Him we proclaim, Paul said, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, we may present every one mature in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all his energy that he powerfully inspires within me. You know, we don't want to just get them in and put a notch on our belt and say, yeah, that one, Muhammad became a believer. But we want to help them grow in Christ so that when they leave our campus, they are equipped to take what they have and share it with others, even to the point of planting churches. If they go back to their country equipped, think of the impact they can have to plant churches, to win their co-workers, their friends, their families to Christ. We had a Chinese student that went back, that became a believer about 2 years ago, and he went back for an internship this fall semester back to China. And at first he was very discouraged. He said, I couldn't find any believers. So he got a few people together, and they started a Bible study on Sundays at his mother's factory. So they would go there on Sunday morning, and they would sing, and he taught these guys songs, and they'd study the Bible. Well, one Sunday they went there, and the guards in the factory said, you can't do that here anymore. You can't meet here. And so there were about six of them, so they were discouraged, and they were walking down the road. And as they walked down the road, they ran into some people, and these people were on the way to another church. And they said, well, come with us. And so this guy went with them, and he met the pastor, and he said, you know, told who he was and what had happened to him, that he was a Christ follower. And the pastor said, hey, I want you to come and share your testimony with my church. Well, this church, believe it or not, in China, has 800 people in it. And he went there just a few weeks ago and to share his testimony. He said, he emailed a friend of mine and says, how did it go? And he said, I talked for over an hour at this church. So, you know, he's very encouraged now. He's back now from his internship. Now, there are resources that you can easily get hold of. And one of them is a website called International or InterVarsity.org. You can see it there. And that's a place that you can look, go to. And it has Bible studies that you can download. It has other information about working with internationals. There's a video that we've been using called The Hope, and it's a great video. Anybody familiar with this? You guys are? Yeah. Don't you think it's very helpful? And it starts at the very beginning with creation, and it's got a very cool thing, you know, the Big Bang and all that. The only thing I don't like about it, they don't have subtitles, but the people talk very slowly and very distinctly. And you can get into other languages too. And you can get a Bible study form that goes along with this. I would encourage you to use that. There's Bibles. You can go to multi-language media, multilanguage.com, and you can get, they have every foreign language resource that you that is available in America on that that website, and you can find English and now some of these English / foreign language Bibles are really expensive. You can, if it's Chinese, you can get New Testaments that are they're fairly cheap, but if you go beyond that, it's pretty expensive. So most of the time, we just use English Bible. And I started out using NIV, but the NIV, although it's good, it's a little stilted for speakers of English as a second language. And so I looked around, did some research, and I came across New Living Translation. And the New Living Translation, even though there's some things I is not perfect, it's a really great, I think, translation for speakers of English as a second language. And we have our Bible studies with New Living Translation. And I think it's helpful. There's a video called The Cross. If you have a lot of Chinese, there's a video called The Cross of Jesus in China. And you can find that on a multi-language media website, and it's a great video to show a documentary where they've interviewed Chinese Christians in China about what has happened, about the growth of Christianity in China over the years. And they interview people that have been in prison for 25 years and now are out and continue to share the gospel and so on. There's a book called Song of the Wanderer. Now, how many of you here in your campus, most of the internationals are Indian? Okay. Where are you? Okay. Same place. How many on your campus, majority is Chinese? Anybody here, majority of Japanese? Any other, what others are majority student? Huh? South Korean. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Nepal. Wow. But a lot.
Right now we're also ministering to a number of Thai.
Thai. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, these resources, this multi-language media would have resources and all those. This song, it's unfortunately made only really in Chinese. And it's for Chinese students, and it's written by a Chinese scholar that became a believer. And it talks about his journey from atheism and to Christ. And it's kind of an apologetics type thing of how, as a scientist, he could not accept Christ or the Bible, and how the process that he came to be a believer. And it's had a great impact on a lot of people. But it's called Song of the Wanderer. You can also get that from there. So I give you these resources because there's really the resources for ministering to internationals and Bible study with Bible studies that would communicate to them are not that plentiful. And so when I find them, I like to hang on to them. So here's another one. It's called Bible Basics. And it's really good because on this, the very second page, it talks about how the Bible is organized. And you know, they don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know that the Bible is actually a library of books. They don't know that the Bible is actually 66 books. They don't know that it's divided up. They don't know what those numbers mean in there. So this is just helpful for someone who's never not familiar with the Bible, even Americans, to help them see how the Bible is organized and how they can get into it. But this is very basic about what is in the Bible, about God, who God is and everything. And well, if you're interested, it has the information here on the back. You can look at it to get a hold of it. It's out of Nebraska. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are from the general area in Kansas City. On May the 26th, there's going to be a conference for people who are interested in working with international. And then the ACME conference is May 27th through 29th, and that's the Association of Christians Ministering to Internationals.
Right.
And so you can get all kinds of information there. And also, the Solarium cards, I don't know how many are familiar with the Solarium cards, but they're actually images that you can use to start conversation. And they now have a set, and I don't have one, but they have a set that's specifically designed for international students. And
how do you get those? I've never heard of Solarium.
Solarium cards are from Campus Crusade, and that International Mission Board is partnering with Campus Crusade to get those.
Oh. So how would we get a hold of those?
If you would, they're on the Crusade website. And then they also have, for people working with Chinese, they have a little booklet on Chinese characters and how they relate to the gospel.
Great. Yeah, K-State at Manhattan, Kansas. And is that in June, ACME? Yeah, anybody here from K-State? All right, great. So there are resources around. ACME is probably the biggest one. And I just wanted to show you about a couple of things here that we've used. This little booklet, Welcoming the Nation, it gives our vision, and it talks about family groups. And now we have found that we started out trying to do just evangelistic Bible studies, and they're fine as far as, you know, it gets them into the Bible. But we felt like we needed something more than just a Bible study for them to come to. And somebody within our group came up with the concept of a family group. And, you know, the idea of calling it a family group, they're away from their family, and they want, one of their felt needs is to make friends and a new family. And this is what this is about. And you can read this and it shows you what a family group is. We eat together every week. They fix the food and come and bring it, and they contribute, and they can rub shoulders week by week over a longer period of time. It usually lasts about 2.5 hours. And at first, when I thought of that and thought about having it, I thought, oh, they don't have time to meet 2.5 hours on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. But if it's valuable enough to them, they will do it, and they do it. And they come week by week and learn this. So this little book is basically about family groups and other things, and I think it would be a good resource for you. And then this gives you just a picture of a ministry that could be anywhere where you do evangelism on campus, wherever, whatever way you can. Once they become believers, you disciple them, and you want to equip them and commission them to go out to the world and to share what they have been equipped with there. Are there any questions? Our time is about gone. About, or just things, comments you want to say about working with internationals?
Jack, you mentioned starting Genesis 1. Do you have a resource that you've found that just kind of walks people through the Bible without...
Yeah, this would. Mm-hmm. this is a, and there are others that I have, but they're not published. I don't know any published ones.
Okay.
But that is a key one.
I'd be curious to know how these young people came to feel like God was wanting them to work with internationals. Did you just have a longing for, or did you feel like God's leading you that way, or is that what you're seeking now?
Well, no, all of that. For me, it's all that. I mean, my desire is to go over and work with people in the Middle East. Okay. So I'm like, I got to get started now. So I'll go over and I'm like, to volunteer and learn and experience and training while I'm here in the States and just make those different things.
Could I make a confession here? Are you about through?
By the way, it's my sister.
I'm from Texas. And I'm the black sheep of the family because our daddy was a minister. And he went into the ministry and I went to Texas. But I married a Sunday school teacher. But anyway, I didn't have the love that Jack has for these people. And so God had started working on my heart, and I'll soon be 70 this year. And, you know, he better hurry up, hadn't he? So, but it was really funny, because right after 9/11 happened, we had heard there was people in Dallas that were cheering. We had a family that their daughter stopped to get gas at this gas station, and there was a group of Muslims in there. It was owned by them. They were run by it. And they had been cheering in there, and she happened to walk in to pay for her gas and saw what was happening and backed off. Well, I guess she paid and left. But so I had a real, real problem. And I thought, now, God, you know, I have no love for these people, and I call them scarf people, and I didn't want to be around them. Well, the Lord said, okay, Connie, I'll fix that. So every time, I remember going to JCPenney's, and I was in there and I had a coupon and I turned around to get some help, and I bet you there were 20 scarf people in there with their children, and they were so helpful to me, and we all were looking at our coupons and we were trading, and so then I go to the grocery store and guess who I run into? Those people. And so I thought, okay, Lord, this is enough if you want me to really love them. So I joined Curves, and guess who were two of the sweetest friends that helped me at Curves? You know what Curves is? You know, it's an exercise. Obviously, they didn't help me enough, but anyway. But they became sweet, sweet friends to me. And so I'm learning. I'm not where my brother is, but I'm learning. And I so admire you all. That's why I was asking you, how did you come to know that the God wanted you to work with internationals? Because, see, I didn't have that love like you do. And I'm so proud of you all for seeking this out, okay? So thank you for letting me confess.
Yeah.
In fact, there's another resource book called Foreign to Familiar. Foreign to Familiar. If you haven't read that book, it talks about the difference between hot and cold cultures, and I try to give that to students who are interested in working with international students or any student who is going on mission to another country. It's just, you can read it in about an hour.
Great.
It's a very handy little book, and I've also given it to some international students who couldn't understand America, and it helped them to understand, you know, why this person didn't ask them four times to go to Walmart. I had a Muslim student who said, well, these Americans aren't very nice. But they asked me to go to Walmart, and I said, no. And then they just left. And I said, well, because they didn't know that they needed to ask you four times.
Mm-hmm.
They thought just once was enough.
Mm-hmm.
So them. I think also any student who goes on mission to another country, then to me, you're obligated. If you haven't already had a call, I think you're almost obligated to see internationals on your campus. And this is one of the reasons I try to take students to other countries to help them see the flip side, what it's like to be in another culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing. If you haven't ever been out of the country, I hope that when you do go, that you'll understand a little bit of what it's like to be on the other side. And
yeah.
You'll be a real advocate for international campus.
Right. And, you know, if we spend all the money and time and effort to go overseas, you know, like in the summers, and think how much money you have to raise to do that and everything, why not have the same, put in the same effort and not even having to raise money, but to focus on those that have come to us from the nations. And God's brought them here. And, man, let's not let them leave. Anybody leave from your campus that... without having the opportunity at least to learn about Jesus, the opportunity to clearly understand God's word, the gospel, and the opportunity to accept Him. And what a great, great privilege we have to live at this time in a nation where the other nations are coming to. That doesn't happen in every place in the world. But it's happening here, and it's happening now, and you can be a part of it. You can be a part of helping to fulfill the Great Commission right here in your community. Let's pray, and you can go. God, thank you so much for these students and others that are here that desire to see you work in the lives of the nations that are coming to our communities and our schools. And God, they have so many needs. And of course, we know the greatest need of all is to know you personally as Lord and Savior. And give us courage. Give us the passion. Give us the desire to get out and to meet them and to overcome the barriers that are there and to befriend them and introduce them to the greatest friend that they could ever have, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.